Welcome to another edition of 100% Canucks, soon to be joined by Landon Ferraro and Tyson Berry, a bi-weekly wrap-up of what we're seeing around the Canucks and around the National Hockey League. Canucks are on a short road trip now. Denver tonight, St. Paul, Minnesota on Thursday night as the regular season winds down. The most important date in Canucks world right now has to be May the 5th, which will be, it looks like, the day of the draft lottery, where the Canucks will have 25% of a chance to be the number one draft pick. And we will have a little bit of a discussion about that with Tyson and Landon, because there's not much to look at when it comes to the hockey club right now. The young guys are playing. Some veteran guys are playing out the string. Evander Kane got to 1,000 games, which is nice. And I assume there will be a ceremony at one of the home games coming up for Evander. But other than that, what's there to discuss with the Canucks? We will try to do that with our pals, Landon and Tyson, on this edition of 100% Canucks.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it, and enjoy.
The April 1st edition of 100% Canucks. Shannon here, Tyson Berry, and Landon Ferraro on the West Coast. Boys, could there be anything in April Fools that would make light of what's going on with the Vancouver Canucks? Anything?
It's April. It's almost done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that if you're looking for a rebuild and you're looking at a tank, they're doing a fantastic job. I think they're right on schedule.
Well, to tell you what, just put it in your calendar. I think May the 6th is the next most important day for Vancouver Canucks and the Canuck fans, and that's the day of the draft lottery, where Vancouver will have 25% of those darn ping pong balls, and the sequential.
Is that all you get? Is 25%?
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I've clicked on that simulator a ton of times. It does not feel like it pops up 25% of the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, it seems like you're getting third a lot.
Well, yeah. The good news is they can't go lower than third.
Yeah,
but that's not necessarily good news.
No, it's not one. I like is that McKenna? He's consensus number one. There's no bumping him out of that spot.
No, I don't think so. There's a defenseman in the Western League, and there's also a young Swedish forward that as a winger that's who is impressive at the World Juniors that has become an impact guy too. So I think. You know, and I'm not a junior guy or a prospects guy, but you know, the consensus I think with most fans would be McKenna.
Yeah, I think if it was in question ever since he got in that bit of trouble there, he's played like lights out. And he started walking around the sheet. He's been pretty deadly.
I think too the difference is like I think the talk is like he has the highest potential of the guys at the top over Stenberg and Verhoef. And
right.
There's the one other defenseman. I forget his name now as well. Starts with a C, I want to say. But like McKenna's the one that has the biggest pop value. And to me, like if it ends up being the Canucks, like he's a guy I don't think you can pass. Like they don't have anyone in their system that can run a half wall. That is that like hands and cerebral type player. and they're really hard to come by. You know, I'm not, and just like John, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm sitting here watching every game tape, but those guys are so tough. You either have the hands and the vision or you don't. I worked on my hands a lot. Tyson, you could just
it didn't matter how much you worked on it. You weren't running the half wall.
No, I realized I pushed the puck a lot better.
Well, actually, you guys both come from this from a totally different perspective. Tyson, you were a college kid. Landon, you were a junior kid.
No, I was Kelowna.
Were you?
Why did I think
Kelowna, the defense machine, you know, where all the great defensemen come from, right?
Yep. I was one of those. A few levels behind a few of the other guys, but I slid into that.
For some reason, I had North Dakota on my brain, so...
Well, that's okay. It's only our, what, eighth podcast at this point?
Oh, don't stop giving me a hard time.
Okay. I would have loved to have seen you at college, Tice.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would have made it to the NHL.
I think you might have owned part of the college when you left.
Yeah, it would have got interesting.
So, I'm just curious, the whole concept with McKenna leaving Medicine Hat and going to Penn State for the year, do you think it will pay off? Was it a good idea?
Yeah, I can speak on, I love the new rules. I think it's an amazing thing for kids. You know, I've had friends who went and played one game in the Western League and then lost their eligibility. And I'm so happy to see it open up like it did. For McKenna individually, like, I don't think he had much left to prove in the Western League. So for him to be able to step up and go play against those older guys and, you know, I think last time I looked, he might be leading the league or something. He's having a pretty good year as,
season's over now. So.
Yeah. Okay. So as a 17-year-old, like, I think getting that experience against those older kids, stronger kids, like that probably preps them better for an 18-year-old season in the NHL, I would imagine.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the level of competition, especially because that rule popped in. So, I mean, across the board, college hockey got way better. And so now you're, instead of playing against, you know, you're going into a corner and there's might be a 16 and 17 year old you're playing against. You're playing against a 22 and 23 year old. You know, it pushes you to get better much faster. But for the rule itself, I mean, like it's unbelievable. Like, you know, Tyson was able to jump in pretty quickly and start playing right away. Like for me, if I could have gone from junior and played another 2 or 3 years even in university and built up a bit more, I would have been in such a better position turning pro. Like it's awesome for those kids to have that opportunity now.
Yeah, it's the way it should be.
But okay, so you did play. What? How old were you when you played your first NHL game, Tyson?
I was 20.
And so in theory, 2 years older than your draft year. Was it still a culture shock?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was. I'd had some good camps and played world. I got a chance to play World Juniors, and I was ready for. You know, I think I probably maybe should have made the team out of camp at 20, but I got to go to the American League and, you know, get some games. And it would have been interesting if it was available back at the time for someone like myself. You know, you get drafted and then I probably would have stayed in Kelowna because it was, you know, I was in a good position. It was a great organization.
You think you would have stayed? I don't think there's a chance you would have stayed.
Really?
Yeah. Because Bruce Hamilton
probably would have made me stay for sure.
He would have locked you in your billet house.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but like you were good, right? And you got drafted. You would have gone to the next level just like McKenna did because you would have wanted to challenge yourself. Even though you had an unbelievable setup in Kelowna, like you would have gone to the next level.
Guaranteed. But like I hadn't done anything and, you know, I was 17. I got drafted and then like, the next year I led the league in scoring at 18, yeah. Which was like, you know, that gave me a lot of confidence.
Okay. But sorry. So there you do that the next year, then you would have gone that.
Yeah. Maybe
next
at 19, I would have had some offers rolling in for a couple hundred grand. I would have had to take a look at probably. Yeah. I hear you.
And think of what 1 year of playing at that level instead of your 19 year in junior would have set you up for your first rookie year.
Yeah.
Right? Like it does give you a way better setup.
Yeah, there's no doubting that. Yeah, I'm just really glad it went that way. Obviously, I think some people in the WHL feel differently, but yeah, I think it's almost you know, you play one game and you make $80 every 2 weeks and you're no longer eligible. I think it's almost criminal. So nice to see it head that direction.
Yeah, well, it has changed, and what's going to happen now too is that probably next year a draft pick, at least one pick, maybe it's just first round picks, will be able to go and play in the American League as opposed to being forced to go back and play junior. What difference will that make, Landon?
Well, I mean, again, it just opens up the possibility for the guy that is ready to take that jump, but's not ready for the NHL yet. Like, I look at Thomas Tatar, got drafted in the second round with me to Detroit. And because he hadn't played in the CHL, he was coming from Europe, he could go right in. He wasn't ready for the NHL, but he was ready for the American League and was really good there in his rookie year. So to open that up, it gives the guys the right development that they're ready for. I would have had the same opportunity. I wouldn't have been ready for it. So I think there's definitely
some value in staying in junior as well. Like it, the CHL is a great hockey league.
Yeah.
You know, and like I alluded to, like I went at 18 and had a great year, and that gave me, like, you know, you almost need a year to dominate.
Yeah.
Where you prove that you're the best player and you have what it gives you that confidence in your ability to go dominate. And if you go to the AHL too soon, or you go to the, you know, NCAA too soon, you know, instead of being a first line center, maybe you're third line center. And then you're like, then you start changing the way you play, and you might not develop those game breaking skills or whatever it is that would otherwise show themselves. So I think it's a player case by case basis for sure.
Well, what did you learn in the American League?
Sorry, John, because that just sparked something for me. Like, as you're going there, the other thing that it does is it gives guys more time to develop, obviously. But again, like, I just always think of myself in that position. Like, I went and played in the American League at 20. I would have been way better off being able to go to college. Going to the American League did was I had to learn how to get in the lineup. And yeah, I started to score and I started to figure that out a bit, but like, I dumbed my game down so much to make sure that I didn't turn anything over. I was PKing all of it because I was just trying to survive and be in the lineup. If I was in college, I'm still probably going, I'm on a scoring line. I'm still progressing in that sense and not closing my creativity off that was already somewhat limited.
Yeah.
What did you learn in the American League, Tyson?
I learned in the American League that I wanted to be in the NHL. No, it was a great experience. You know, your first time living on your own. You know, when you get like when I got to Lake Erie, like Patrick Rissmiller was there, who'd played in the NHL, and you get these guys coming up and down from the NHL, and you get to kind of see how to operate a little bit. You know, not on the same level as the NHL. You're busing and you're staying in the hotels, and it's a different level, but you get the sense of like taking care of yourself and kind of entering the real world in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, renting a place, all that stuff is big life lessons. And then the actual on ice product, I think it was, I didn't spend a ton of time, but it was just the motivation, you know, like peers around me that, you know, I felt like, you know, I'd been playing better than, or, you know, I was like, oh, I'm better than that guy. And then they would get called up and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I must not be that far off. So it kind of took, I think it took the NHL off a pedestal. And, you know, I had some success in the minors when I went. So it was again, like a confidence booster, I think a little bit. I had good coaching too, David Quinn. He was all over me to move my feet, and yeah, he was an NHL coach in the minors. So you get exposed to that kind of stuff too.
Before we talk about the Canucks, I want to talk about one other thing, because it's this time of year that you're seeing college kids sign contracts and play in the NHL within days. I don't know if you guys saw it the other night, but the Flyers paraded out Porter Martone at a home game in the press box. Flyers are playing on as the game goes on. The Flyers are on the ice fighting for a playoff spot, and the general manager and the president of the club are up hugging Porter Marton while the game's on, and they're putting Marton on the scoreboard, on the video board. For both of you, what was it like when the college kid showed up late in the season? It appeared that they were trying to take people's jobs.
Well, yeah, I probably have one of the better stories or situations of that. We were in the playoffs, and a guy named Kale McCarr came from college and didn't only take my spot. I mean, he literally took my spot. So, yeah, it is what it is, though. I mean, I was deep into my career, and I was, you know, running the power play and on a big contract and had lots of success. And then, you know, Kale McCarr shows up for morning skate. I'm like, you know, fourth overall. I've seen lots of, you know, top picks come and go. And I was thinking, who's this kid? He's rosy cheeked. And first morning skate, he took two strides and snapped a pass cross ice. And I looked at McKinnon and I was like, what the hell was that? I'm like, what is this kid? And then, you know, fast forward, we had a good run. Fast forward 3 months, I was traded to Toronto, and, you know, Kale's arguably been one of the best defensemen of all time since then. So, I was exposed to that very personally.
I mean, again, I'm on the opposite end of that, right? For me, when guys were signing those, you're like, it's another guy that's in front of me now. Like, you know that they're the new shiny toy and they're going to get their opportunity. And, you know, the first time it really hit me was Riley Shea and signing out of Notre Dame and jumping right in. And I had a really good year, and I knew I was close to getting called up, and there was an injury, and I was like, I'm going to get called. I know it. And then about an hour and a half later, I saw that he got signed and he went and played. Like, it's frustrating. It's hard. You're not mad at him. I mean, I'm like, I'd take that opportunity, but it's hard. But at the end of the day, you just keep going. That's all you can do.
Well, how do you deal with it mentally?
Just keep playing, because at the end of the day, especially in the American League, as much as I was drafted to Detroit, wanted to play for Detroit, I didn't really care where I played. Like, I knew every other team was watching, and that gets drilled into you pretty quick in the American League of you're not just playing for your team, you're playing for every team. And, you know, when, you know, I was a waiver guy, that, you know, that proves it, right? Like, you know, there's multiple teams that put something in there. So you're like, okay, like, I've done something right.
Hard to be mad at Kale McCarr, Tyson.
At least, you know, when he came in, and at least it wasn't like, you know, somebody who was kind of like, you know, fizzled out or burned out, but like, yeah, I lost my job to maybe the best defenseman of all time. So, like, what are you going to do? That's just, I would say it's a bad bounce. You know? There's no way he should have went fourth overall.
I'm curious. Does Joe Sakic come down and talk to you? Does Jared Bednar pull you aside and say, hey, listen, here's the reality of what it is? Or is this the organic part of the game of hockey?
Yeah, I don't even think, I mean, Joe maybe realized what he'd had, but nobody else realized that Kale was going to be what he is. You know, like, at that point he came and, you know, he played, but, you know, it wasn't like they're like, hey, he's running the power play, all this stuff. Like, my role didn't change at all for the playoffs.
Right.
I was playing well. It was kind of on the back burner. And then he was able to showcase what he was able to do in that playoffs. And I think that opened probably the whole organization's eyes to a whole, yeah, this guy's he's the guy. So there was no conversation.
We can save a lot of money here.
Yeah, exactly. So I have no ill will. I got traded July 1. That was kind of the conversation.
But it wasn't a case of you driving home after practice and honey packed the boxes, or?
I was well aware. That's when I almost got traded to the Canucks. I was in New York on a bachelor party, and my agent called and said, hey, I know I don't like to bother you with this stuff, but like, it's close. Like, they might announce it on the draft floor. You might go to the Canucks. And then it was going to be like a sign and trade. And I was all fired up. And then instead of going to the Canucks on a long-term deal, I went to the Leafs on a tryout pretty much. And ran into my good pal Babcock. So it went a different direction, but, Yeah, I have. I was so lucky in my career, and that was one of my unluckier moments. So, no complaints.
And you got to be on our podcast.
Exactly.
Hey, this is the future, man. Penultimate. There you go. Yeah. You tweet me to something else before we talk about the Canucks. What did you make of Tortorella?
I think that Golden Knights team is they were my pick to win the cup at the beginning of the year. So I think they were grossly underachieving. I think a coaching change usually brings a good string of games and a lot of momentum. I think it's a ballsy move and a great move, to be honest. Torts, I know he doesn't have the greatest reputation amongst media and some people, but from what I can tell, guys like playing for him. So, timely, well executed. I don't know. I see it being a positive for them.
Landon?
It did piss me off when he came out wearing a full suit and not his quarter zip. Yeah. I was a big fan of the quarter zip. He looked sharp. I'm not saying he didn't, but like that was disappointing.
I wonder if it was. Yeah, he'll settle in. He'll be quarter zipping in no time.
Especially in Vegas. Like, bring a bit of flair to it.
I just think that reflects the temperature in the arena more than anything. That damn arena in Philadelphia is really cold.
Yeah, that's true.
It is a cold place. I was actually quite impressed that he wore a suit again. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
But I'm old.
We've had this discussion before. I'm all for dressing down.
Yeah. No, I see. So you'd like the new dress code then?
I'd like there to be like a little bit of a dress code so that guys aren't looking like all over the map. But yeah, like I got no problem with a guy wearing a pair of jeans.
I think that I liked suits two games. I think that separated hockey from other sports. But there was a lot of stipulations around teams. Like you'd have to show up to the plane in your suit and like get undressed. Like the dress code needed to be addressed. I love that it's open now. If they would have said like all open except to games wear a suit, like that would have been fine by me. But I think some guys are doing a great job and some guys are absolutely blowing it. So it is what it is.
Like to me, I think the happy medium is suits to home games and then whatever on the road, right? Like make a little, like a lesser dress code for the road.
Yeah. I just think it's classy.
I just don't want to pack a suit.
You see Sid walk in a suit. You're like, oh, that's a pro right there. You know,
yeah.
And some guys are wearing like track pants and like, you know.
But doesn't it look worse?
I'm a bit
now?
Torn because if you would have known me when I played, you would have thought that I was like 100% like loungewear. But I think the NHL has a standard. And I think that when guys show up in suits, it's tight. It's meaningful. It's like, you know, but I hated wearing a suit to the plane and off the bus. And like, that was painful.
But doesn't it make it worse now that some guys are in suits and some guys aren't?
Yeah,
like it looks like you just went out to the street and grabbed 20 random guys to hop on the bus and roll into the building.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying like no dress code except on the way to games.
Yeah. Fair.
I
could see Tyson wearing that velour tracksuit. You know, I think that.
Yeah,
would
I would have had some interesting fits for sure. I wouldn't have been in a suit. Once they opened it up, I would have been dripping though.
What about bling? Any bling?
No, I'm not a big bling guy, but you know, I'd have a nice timepiece. Maybe that'd be about it.
I could see you being an earring guy with Willie in Toronto.
Yeah, I'll tell you what though, I'd be wearing Chili Ones hats everywhere. Just a walking billboard.
Well, now that we've seen Chili Ones at the Olympics, of course.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, holy smokes! The best advertisement for your beverage was standing beside Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier. My goodness gracious!
Yeah, no, not a problem there. Chili Ones available province wide, Thrifties and Safeway. Go grab a pack.
Well, we got to get some in Ontario. Then that's what we have to do. We have to get it.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
All right. Okay. So we do, you know, it is the name of the podcast is 100% Canucks. So we do have to talk about the hockey club for a while. What Okay, so we're doing this midweek. They're playing in Colorado tonight. There's basically 2.5 weeks left in the season. Tyson, you're a veteran player on the team. What's going through your mind between now and the 16th of April?
Probably a lot of the same that's been, you know, once the trade deadline passes, you are where you are. You know, you're obviously, you're losing a lot of games. I don't know. I think you're just, you're gearing up again.
Do the guys care whether they win or lose?
I think they'd prefer, you know what? I think when your entire city and your management is looking for the first overall pick, and I think Jim Rutherford came out and said, you know, they're, you know, losses aren't the biggest deal right now. You still need wins though, because it is good for morale. When you're losing, 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 you get a win. Like, guys are high fiving and celebrating. Like, you know, it's a bigger game than it is, which goes a long way. It's good for morale. It's good. It makes it fun to go to the rink and be at morning skate. So yeah, you're playing, you're trying. All these young guys are trying to show that, you know, they want the contract or they want the opportunity next year. And the older guys are playing like, hey, you're going to need some guys to set the culture, and you still need hockey players next year to play. So they all want their jobs and contracts and paychecks. So yeah, you got to try to mix in some wins here and show that you're committed and it's still your job. And a lot of these guys are making a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to keep yourself in it sometimes when you're on the team in this position. But at the end of the day, the only thing that happens if you don't continue working and continue pushing is you're hurting yourself. And it's so easy sitting on the outside being done now, looking back on some days wasted. But like, there's just like Tyson was touching on there, like for the older guys, whether they need contracts and they're looking for that, or, you know, like, chances are there's going to be one or two guys that still get traded in the summer. And are those guys, like, those guys are trying to put together a last good bit of the season so that, you know, they're looking better as they're getting moved out. Like, there's, and then of course the young guys playing for their opportunities. Like, everyone has something they're playing for. So it's easy to keep yourself in it. And then touching on the wins, like, I mean, a random win is everything when all you do is lose. Like, it makes everything in your life feel that much better for the 24, 48 hours.
Yeah.
Like, and everything.
And to be frank, like, they've pretty much secured last place. So yes.
No, they've successfully done that. They have successfully done that.
Yeah. So if they could string together some wins, it would probably be pretty fun for the guys.
Tougher on the road or at home? There's more distractions at home. So when you get on the road and you're going hotel, morning skate. Yeah, the reality is
the older guys or whoever is probably having an extra beer the night before, and games are meaningless. So maybe you're, instead of showing up to the rink 2.5 hours before, maybe you're showing up 2 hours before. I don't know. You got to try to get some wins and make fun where you can, because there would probably be nothing worse than like going fully dialed and then just getting pounded. So you go into Colorado tomorrow and you see the Avs are playing pretty good right now. That could be could get out of hand.
Well, Monday night, Calgary was in Denver and it was, I think the final was 9-2. Yeah. That's gotta be hard.
That's a team gearing down and that's a team gearing up. Just a couple different levels there.
And there's no way to fabricate that. Like, the Calgary guys, you know, are much in the same position of Vancouver. Like, you can want to go out and you're getting yourself ready for the game. And you know that you're going to go out and you're trying as hard as you can. There's no way to fabricate getting ready for the playoffs and gearing up for that run. You can't get to that level. It doesn't matter how competitive you are. It's impossible.
Well, there's different. The league has like four steps. It's like, you know, start of the season and then after the trade deadline and then gearing up for they're ramping up right now. The league is the good teams, the playoff teams, the teams that are fighting for the playoffs, the teams that are in the playoffs, they're taking it to another level in preparation for that final step of the playoffs. And if you're one of these lower teams that's, you know, you're bringing in young guys, you're trying things, it's a tough time of the year to play these good teams. Not much you can do.
Okay, so like you were on a team that had 48 points, I think, Tyson, right? 48?
Well, I sure was. I was a big part of that team. Got the green jacket.
Were you in the last 3 weeks of the season, were you following the playoff races? Or were you just...
You were aware of what, you know, you're in the league, you're aware of what, yeah, and then you play the teams and you're like, holy, that was a good team, you know. But we didn't even, that year on the road, we stopped doing morning skates. We had a noon meeting. We'd go and have a meeting and that was it. And then we'd play the game. Like, and that was Jared Bednar's first year. He was kind of, you know, thrown into the fire 2 weeks before camp. He got the job. He was great. He was like, guys, he couldn't even
sugarcoat it.
It's like, boys, like, I don't know what, he's like, I don't know what's going on. You guys clearly don't know what's going on. It was actually pretty funny. But yeah, you're aware of these teams that are, you know, kind of juggernauts moving through their, you know, their final parts of their season. And you'd get on the ice against a team that was fighting for playoffs. And there was a difference in intensity for sure.
Lanny, what do you see out of the Canucks these days, particularly, I guess, the focal point would be the kids that came over in the Hughes trade and a guy like Velander and a bit of that. Can this be a positive time for those guys?
For sure it can. You know, I think there's, again, that's where you have to separate the results of the games because, again, they don't matter. So it's so easy for a young kid to play a good game and look and see if, well, we lost 5-2 again, right? Like, it's easy to get discouraged, but you got to make sure you keep highlighting things. Like, you know, with Velander, I feel like for the past 2 weeks or so, like, his skating has really taken another step. And I mean, Tyson, you can talk to it more in a second, but like, the way that he's picking up pucks in his own end and getting his feet moving, he's joining in the offensive zone, like, he's gaining some confidence. Like, that's a really good thing. And that's where I think it's so important through the last stretch of games here of, like, emphasizing, go make mistakes, like, go try things, like, go figure it out so that when you get to summer, you don't have as many questions of what I need to work on, things that I can improve to, and open up more space for myself. Like, go figure that all out now when it literally does not matter.
Yeah, I agree. These guys are, you know, coming out of college or junior or the minors, and it's almost a blessing. It's a good opportunity to see, like, what's going to work. What's, you know, what made you successful at a lower level, and does it translate? Do you have to adjust? But yeah, I think there's definitely some bright spots on that back end with those two young kids. And it's probably, you know, it's fun for them to be able to take some more offensive risks and, you know, maybe give up a 2-on-1 or make a bad pinch. And that's just learning lessons. So and they're good enough players. Well, they'll figure it out. So it's almost like inconsequential learning lessons, you know, which I think is.
What'd you make of Williams' fight?
Oh, I love it. Get in there, buddy. Like, that's what endears you to the fans, to your teammates. It's, you know, you just dropping the gloves and getting into a fight is a part of the game that not everyone's willing to do. I had one fight in my career, lots of scrums, but it's just, I think it's awesome. It shows that he's a, you know, he's a team guy and he's willing to stand up for his teammates and he's not going to get pushed around. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it just shows his competitiveness, right? Like, you don't want him dropping the gloves really much more at all. But in saying that, the fact that he has done it and kind of showed to himself that it's okay and the guys loved it. And like Tyson said, like, it's something that brings teams together, like, especially young guys, like, that does bring you together. They like, it's something they'll laugh about later and keep referencing. And it's something that, again, just brings those young guys together. And now they kind of want to go do it for the other one because he just got the attention and you want to pull some of that back. Like, it's fun that way.
Yeah. It starts to bring the culture. Like, you look at what Toronto just went through in the media with their whole thing there. It's like, if you could avoid that altogether and make it a part of your culture, it's great. Yeah.
Hold on. You had one fight, Tyson?
Yeah, I got, I came back from All-Star break. I was horrible. I had like four horrible games. I was so frustrated. I tried to fight Blake Wheeler which would have probably been a mistake. And then Nick Ehlers ran over and we dropped the gloves. Probably a better opponent. I hit him with one. He hit me with one. My jaw hurt for like 6 months. And that was the end of my fighting career. I had like, I think I had 5 in junior and maybe 1 in the minors, but.
You lost to Nick Ehlers.
Why? Go watch it. I wouldn't call it a loss. He did hit me with one and I couldn't, my jaw hurt. I think it might've been broken. I don't know, but I didn't pay much attention to it.
What about you, Landon? How many fights did you get in?
I think I had 3 in the NHL.
Wow.
Yeah, 3 or so. I think, I don't know, with junior and through pro, 40-ish.
I had a
different game than Tyson.
You looking for one, Shannon? I'll give you one.
Listen, I've never fought. I don't even fight the cat. but here's the deal. You would have been a great chirper, though. You were first-class chirper on the ice.
Yeah. I didn't get into it often. I was more like, I was usually pretty, I was friends with most of the guys. And then like, there was a few guys I hated though. And I would just abuse. Yeah. I had a few guys that I just picked on.
Well, that's good. And that's what should happen. Yeah.
I went at everyone and I was like the, not the smallest guy, but somewhat, it's like I brought my dad's small man syndrome into the equation because it was always the big guys.
Well, Tyson Berry, Blake Wheeler would have been fun to watch.
Oh, that would have been amazing. That would have been almost like the Chara McCabe.
It would have been interesting. Ray Whitney told me, he said, if you're friends with everybody, you get hit way less. That's good. He told me that earlier. That's good advice.
Great advice.
Yeah. I had a couple buddies who would give me the heads coming around the net.
That's all right. Well, we'll catch up maybe one more time before the end of the regular season. Thank you for this, boys.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Tyson Berry, Landon Ferraro. I'm John Shannon. Back after this.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here. Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to 4 games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
Just to clarify, May the 5th. May the 5th is the draft lottery, it looks like. Tentatively set right now, which when you consider that the Canucks and the Flames and the Maple Leafs and perhaps the Jets will be in the draft lottery, it might be one of the most watched draft lotteries in a long time, perhaps at least in a decade, when back-to-back Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid were picked by Canadian teams. It will be fun to watch. The rest of the season is going to be a fascinating one for the Canucks and the young people that are playing this game for them, particularly as we talked about on the blue line. Villander, Bouillon, they're the future, and they are trying to prove a point that they belong on a regular basis in the National Hockey League. For Landon and Tyson, John Shannon, thanks for listening or watching this edition of 100% Canucks.